So how did you manage to cook? Did you have
a I had a good. That was the one thing that I indulged in was a really good stove because I like to cook. I loved cooking. And as I'd always been used to an electric stove, I didn't see why I should have anything else. I didn't want to wrestle with a fuel stove. So I did have an electric stove. And it was a long time before I got a washing machine. We just couldn't afford it.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to make do with a washing by hand for quite a long time until I had a couple of kids and then I managed to buy one.
And did you plan your children, or when you got married, did you plan to have five
children? Well, yes and no. Well, we wanted a few children anyway, and that we had them quite spread out. You know, they didn't all come all at once, mm-hmm. sort of thing. We had the first two were born with 18 months between them, and then there was 3 years before we had Robert. And then there was another 3 years before John was born. And then I think it was about 12 or 13 years before we had the last Jason.
Oh, he's the baby. Mm. And did you have them all in local hospitals?
Or? In a pen hospital, every one of them.
All of them?
Mm. Mm-hmm. My first child was Shirley Ann. She was born in the old hospital, which was over the other side of the railway line, which was called the Governor Phillip Hospital now. Mm-hmm. So it was very, very primitive in those days, very old.
What year was that?
That was 59.
Right.
No, 58, the end of 58. She was born 58. And then when Helen was born in 60, the new hospital had been built. And so, you know, the facilities were much better there.
Right.
And then as each time I had a child, they seemed to improve things somewhat in the hospital, so that by the time Jason was born, they'd opened a real maternity wing.
Oh, right.
So that was in 75, so it was quite good.
And were there baby clinics and things like that?
Yes, there was clinics. There's a clinic on Mamre Road, and it's still there today. They didn't have it in the same building. It's more modern building now. But they always had a clinic, health clinics.
Mm-hmm. And what about for any emergencies when the children were small? Were there doctors nearby?
Yes, I had Dr. Renshaw, who was my doctor, and he was very good.
Mm-hmm.
I'd never had any problems getting medical help, and as we had a car, we could, if we couldn't get the doctor, we could always go to the Nepean, which we did on occasions. But I always had healthy children, thank goodness.
Lucky. And when you think about your daily routine, when the children were small, what would that have been like, and how would that have compared with your mother's daily routine earlier on?
Well, I didn't go to work after I got married, so
right.
I stayed home and looked after the kids.
Mm-hmm.
So that was different to my mother's in that respect, because she worked all her married life.
Did she?
In my father's business, you see.
Right.
They worked together.
Right.
So that she had to sort of wrestle with the children. She had two sets of twins.
Mm.
She had to wrestle with the children and serve customers and all this sort of thing and keep an eye on the kids. So she had a very difficult life, and yet she enjoyed it. But,
she didn't feel she was hardly done by?
No, she didn't. She really enjoyed her life. Providing she had all the different material things, she was quite happy, you know. She used to go to the theatre and do all that sort of thing. As long as she had her entertainment and her music and all that kind of thing, She was quite happy to work, and she did. She worked very hard. But I decided not to go to work, or rather my husband at that stage. I listened to him and decided not to go to work.
He didn't want you to
work? He didn't want me to work, no.
Did he see your role as being in the house?
That's
looking
what he
after
wanted
the
me
family.
To be, wife and mother,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he felt it was his place to provide the finances. So I didn't go to work.
So how was your day spent?
Well, it was spent washing and ironing and cooking. I used to do a lot of baking and things like that because the children were always hungry.
Mm-hmm.
So I used to do a lot of make cakes and pastries and things like that. And I used to do sewing. And I had my piano. I was studying singing at the time as well. Because
mm-hmm.
I wanted to. I actually had been studying in Sydney before I married. And I wanted to join the opera company. I auditioned and I was accepted, but I couldn't fit it in, you know.
With the children? Or was this before you were
this
married?
This was before I was married.
Uh-huh.
The PMG at the time, public servant, see, they had this rule that you weren't allowed to have another job.
Oh, yeah.
Well, of course, I was a very good little girl and I always did as I was told.
What a shame you made.
I didn't think for myself, you know.
You might be another Joan Sutherland.
I suppose I could have been in those days. But I turned to amateur theatricals and, you know, so I made up for it in that way.
And you enjoyed
that?
So
I enjoyed that. I did a lot of stuff locally and singing and being in choral societies and musical comedy, drama and all the sorts of things I used to do before. But and my husband was right behind me. He used to look after the kids while I used to go.
You continued this while you were married?
I decided when I got married, because you know what you like when you're first married, everything's so lovey-dovey, and I was satisfied. I didn't want anything but my husband, and that's all I wanted. And when I had my first baby, I wasn't interested in music or anything, just my husband and the baby. But then when my second one came along, I started to think, oh dear, is this all there is? The novelty had worn off, so because then I saw an ad in the local paper for the man called Robert Rignold, who was, had been engaged at the St Mary's Band Club, which was just a new club at the time, and he wanted singers so he could form this musical society, which was called the European Choral Society. And I went down and auditioned for him, and he was delighted to have me in his society.
And do you still belong?
No, I'm not. I'm not. At the moment, I'm right out of singing. I haven't done anything for a long time, since I've been going to uni anyway.
Yeah.
I haven't had time.
Mm-hmm.
People are urging me to go back and do something.
But you were able to follow your interests even though you were married with five
children.
Yes, you still were able to.
Yes.
Have some time to do your own thing.
I'd often take the kids to rehearsals, and that's how they got the interest in the music. They've all been interested in it. Got two trumpet players.
Have you?
So they became interested in the brass band.
So did your children all go to school?
They all went
school?
To St Mary's South, which is in Monfarville Street, which is just down here, the south of the...
Which street?
Monfarville, which is the street nuns on the
tide. Right.
And they went to St Mary's South, and then they all went to St Mary's High, which is now St Mary's Senior High.
Right.
And it's ironic that all the years my kids went to school, they were in temporary buildings. Well, they were going to get them built. Over the years, the government kept promising, yes, we'll build in permanent buildings, and every one of them, the four of them, had to put up with these temporary building, wooden, rickety buildings. Now my youngest son is at St Mary's Senior High, as it's called now, and they have magnificent brick buildings, and it's taken them over 30 years to decide to build a permanent school, which is very sad.
Only one of them really enjoyed
it. Only one of them benefited from it, yes. So that's the way things are.
And did any of your children go on to tertiary education?
No. I think Jason, my youngest, wants to do a Bachelor of Music. I'm hoping. He's in Year 10 now.
Oh, is he?
Yes. Mm.
And now, just to ask you a little bit about finance, I suppose you paid cash for most of your goods.
We always did, and I guess we haven't got very much, but we've never been in debt or anything like that. We'd always been very careful.
And who handled the household?
Me.
Budget. You did.
Mm-hmm. Always. Yeah.
And did your husband give you housekeeping or?
Yes. Oh, yes. We used to. Well, actually, we didn't. He didn't say here's so much. You know, we just worked it out. And I'd say, well, we need this and that and the other. You know, and he was never stingy with money. Mm-hmm. He was always good. Mm. Not that we had very much.
And what about churches? Do you think the church played an important role in the community in the
Yes, that's a very, very touchy subject with us, actually, because we very nearly didn't get married because of the church, because I was a Catholic and my husband was a Presbyterian. And I ended up getting married in the Presbyterian church, much to my mother's horror, and that caused a bit of conflict in the early days. But we overcame all that, and all my kids were baptised in the Presbyterian church, with the exception of Jason, who was never baptised.
So that in itself says something about the role of the church in the community, I guess, but it seems to have been, you know, lost some of its.
It has, because I know my my daughters both went to. In fact, no. My two daughters, eldest daughters, and the other son, Robert. They all went to Sunday school. Mm-hmm. They went to the Presbyterian Church, which was moved from down there to Marsden Road, and they all went to. Sunday school. In fact, my daughter was very friendly with Rodney Field, who was the mayor that was, there was all this.
Yes.
So we knew the Fields. We knew all these people, you know, like the Fields and the Moorheads and a lot of the well-known people around, you know. And working on the telephone exchange, I knew quite a lot of people, the Beecrofts and the Renshaws and all the people from the band club, because the band club was directly opposite the post office, so I used to meet a lot of the people from the band club. In fact, I'm very, very keen on writing the history of the St Mary's Band Club. It's one project I want to do. They want someone to do it, and I thought it might be something very interesting to do.
I think that would be a great idea.
Mm.
And you've certainly been involved with it.
Yes, there's quite a lot I can contribute to it anyway. And I know Joan King, I don't know whether you know Joan King, her husband was mayor of Penrith for many years. She's practicing. she collected all the stuff together. apparently somebody had lost all the minutes and of all the meetings and things that were held with the actual St Mary's band. And it's very strange. Some secretary or other lost them on the train or something. Oh. So they've got great big gaps in the history, which...
you might be able to help fill some of
them. Fill some of
them. Were there many women in the band?
No.
Any?
There is now. There's two.
Two now?
Yes. They don't encourage women at St Mary's. They're very old-fashioned in that way. They don't say you can't. I used to play in the band too. I was a percussionist and I learned to play tenor horn as well. So that's another thing I did.
Mm.
So they didn't encourage women in the band at all. I know the situation is now that when you go down to brass band competition in Sydney for the nationals, that 75% of the brass players now are girls.
Really?
And last year, every section from cornet to B-flat bass were won by girls.
Really?
So women are really taking their place in brass banding. You know, it's not so in England, but it is in Australia.
Interesting.
And I put that down to the fact that there is such a shortage, such a small population in Australia compared to England, where they don't need women to take the places in the brass band, whereas in Australia they really do need the women to fill the places, so they allow them to come in.
And what did you do, what did your children do for entertainment?
Well,
apart from the music, of course.
Well, mostly it's been... we used to do a lot of going on picnics. We used to do a lot of picnics and going with church groups and things like that. And just trying to think. Shirley-Ann was really... She was into amateur dramatics, so that was her pastime. Helen, she was an epileptic and she had a lot of health problems, so she didn't really get involved in anything like that. I think she mostly went on picnics and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and Shirley Ann did horse riding, and she was really into horse riding. We couldn't afford to buy her a horse, so she just had to be content with going down to riding schools and things like that.
Nearby?
There's one down in Ludlam Road that they used to go to. And Robert, he was, he went into amateur dramatics as well. And he also joined the brass band and became a tuba player, but he gave that away, he got bored with it. And he more or less got involved going to watch car racing and things like that. They used to love that. And going to the movies and all that kind of thing.
Mm.
And John, he was my first really good musician. He was really into brass banding. He's a trumpet player. Because he's in the army now and he's a musician in the army. But, and then Jason. He's interested in music, of course, but he's also interested in model radio control cars. He's really into radio control cars. So his passion is radio control cars. He hasn't got time for anything else, you know, because of his music.
Yes.
And that's what he was doing a few minutes ago. He was practicing without practicing, you know, just doing his keeping his lips in trim.
Do they watch much television, or did they when they were growing up?
Not a great deal. My kids were never... There was always too much to do.
Yes.
You know. They spent most of their times outside. My husband used to take them down to Eastern Creek. That's where he was born. And there's a lot of bush down there. And they used to go down there in the bush and get on the old horse and all that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we didn't get television until I think Shelley-Ann was about 11 or 12. We resisted it for a long time, you know, but then they finally talked us into it and we got our first television set, which would have been, see, 60. We'd have been close to 1970 before we got a TV set. We just didn't have time, we weren't interested, and we were more interested in doing other things, you know.
Well, it sounds as though they've all had a lot to interest them, all of them.
All of them, we've had plenty to do.
So. And what about organisations? Did you belong to any community organisations, you know, like, Rotary or Inner Wheel or Country Women's Association, any of those things?
I could never bring myself to get involved in anything like that.
No. Well, you had your interest in
I had my other interests and I've never been interested in that kind of thing. Even now, as my husband's retired, I don't think that we would be interested in going to pensioner groups or anything like that. It just doesn't interest us.
So you're going to university now?
Yes.
Doing your BA.
So I had to do a lot of writing.
Great. And what does your husband do in retirement?
Well, he only retired this year, and we're doing the house up. We're trying to bring it up to scratch, you know, because we'd like to move away from here now. And
where would you move to?
To Canberra.
All right.
Mm-hmm. We want to go and live down where our daughter lives, eldest daughter, and they're hoping to buy a property fairly close to Canberra, so that they're not too far away from the hub. The city, you know, and that.
It'll still
that
be a little bit still countryfied.
So that we can get out and still listen to our music and go to all these kind of things.
And did you have any animals at all during your growing
cat.
Up or during
always,
your married life?
Always had a cat.
Yeah.
Always had a cat. And we didn't have a dog until about, let me see, when Jason was born. My husband had resisted having animals because he said, if you have animals and you want to go anywhere, you've got the problem of who's going to look after them. So he'd resisted us having anything but a cat. So this was about 1975. This friend of ours who were involved with a theatre company, her husband left her and she had Afghan kennels. Afghans were all the fashion in 70s anyway, middle 70s, and she was left with all these dogs, and she was finally feeding them old bread from the baker, and they were getting pitifully thin, you know, because they weren't getting proper nourishment. So she came to us one day and pleaded with us to take one off her so that she wouldn't have to have them put down. Of course, we were real suckers. And we got Muscles. Oh, he was a beautiful dog. He had long pedigree, but we call him Muscles for short. And he was a lovely dog. We had him for about 8 years. And when he died from stomach cancer. We decided we weren't ever going to have any more dogs. And then one day, John brought home this little puppy. We bought it at the markets. He was only about, I'd say he was about 15. And we wanted this little pup. And we decided we'd keep it. And as long as we didn't see them, we could resist them. But once we saw them, we were finished. And so we kept this little Torrey, he called him, after his... Oh, he must have been older than 15 because he had a car, Tirana. So he must have been about 17, just got his license, etc. Had a Tirana.
And what about the transport in the area? Did that improve a lot during the 50s?
Oh yes, Bowman owned the bus route, and it used to go all the way down Lonsdale Street, which was very convenient. So we've had a bus at the door practically ever since we've been here. Yeah. So we've been very fortunate in that respect. Not that it's very far to walk to St Mary's from here. Train. It's quite a nice walk.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've been blessed with good transport here.
Mm.
Although a lot of people argue and say it's terrible, but I don't know.
You found it okay.
Been quite satisfied with it, you know. It seems to always be there when I need it.
And so looking after reflecting on your life from when you first came out here from England and thinking of what it was like during the 50s and early 60s, how do you feel about the changes that have taken place here and the suburbanisation of the area?
Oh, well, it was inevitable, and in lots of ways it's good. That, from my own selfish point of view, I don't like it very much. Particularly, I could cope with the development, like the buildings and all that kind of thing, but it's the traffic that really gets me now. I mean, it's just dreadful trying to shop in St Mary's now. It's very difficult to find parking and all that kind of thing. And we were really much better off in the old days when there was hardly any traffic. But that's progress.
And do you find it's, you know, you were saying how friendly it was before when you went shopping, you'd know everybody.
Mm. I don't know a soul.
And does that worry you?
Yes, it does. We often look for familiar faces, but you just don't see them anymore. You know? Everyone in St Mary's knew everybody, you know.
Mm.
They'd get around and say hi, you know. Hello, Mrs Moorhead, or whoever. And you knew all the shopkeepers, like the Beecrofts and the Lammings, Mrs Lamming and Miss Lamming, I think it was. And but now you just don't know anybody.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not the same. In some ways it's good because you can get so much more goods and things here in St Mary's than what you used to be able to. And you just go in and do your shopping. You don't stand and chat for half an hour like we used to, you know. We'd go in and see Sandy Lang and he'd pick out some nice green apples for me. And it was really lovely because although it was a lot more expensive.
Then, was it?
Then.
Mm-hmm.
I found it very hard shopping in St Mary's. That's why we used to often go to Parramatta to shop because it was a lot cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't have everything.
No, that's true.
You know?
And what about the landscape, how that's changed? How does that make you feel?
Well, we're more closed in now and we don't see as much as we used to see. We used to look out the back window and we'd see just the paddocks. Now all we see is a bit of the freeway and houses, roofs, that's all we can see. The same looking out here, all you can see is housing.
Mm-hmm. And how does that make you feel? Is that one of the reasons you're moving? You want to move?
It probably is. It probably is, I think. It's just not the same. Although we can still see the mountains. It's people, I think, more than anything that's making us move because we haven't got very good neighbours like we used to have in the old days. The only people that we have from the old days are next door but one. We've got the German people, and they were there before we moved in. They just built their house.
Mm-hmm.
And but we've got lovely Indian people next door. But they all keep to themselves, all these other people down here. It's not like
it's more
was
of a,
before.
An impersonal.
Yeah, it's not. And they seem to complain about the silliest things. I complain about my son playing his trumpet. And complain about the dog when we had a dog, complain about the cat, and, you know.
You're not left to get on with your life.
No. They just won't leave us alone. You've got to live to their standards, you know. They expect you to live to their standards.
Because everyone's so close together.
Yes, yeah. It's, I don't know whether we'd ever find that same feeling, you know, community spirit again.
Mm.
We move away. It's a lot to ask, isn't it?
Yes. Well, thank you very much. The tape's just about run out.
Okay.
Margaret, so thank you very much.
Quite happy to go.
Great.